I'm Simone Alisea, and you're listening to KNKX. For our series, Unpacking Government, we wanted to find out how levies work. Right now, lawmakers in Washington state are furiously working on a plan to fund basic education. And one of the questions that keeps coming up is how much money should come from local school districts in the form of levies. I went to a school in Pierce County to find out how levies work and where they fit into education.
You know, I'm trying to figure out as I'm walking around, like, what here is being paid for by with your local levies here.
Well, just the upkeep and maintenance of our buildings, roof leak, anything like that, that's all local dollars.
That's Frank Hewins, superintendent of the Franklin Pierce School District in Parkland, just outside of Tacoma. We're walking around Brookdale Elementary. The building is older, Hewins says, built in the 50s, and when I'm there, it's mostly empty. The kids are off because the teachers are having a professional development day, also paid for with local levy dollars. He names some other things.
Athletics. Things like the arts. We fully fund safety and security. The rest of it is kind of subsidizing other things. The salaries of teachers, administrators. Then we subsidize many other programs.
The list goes on. Special education, junior ROTC, transportation, all funded at least in part by local levies. But what are levies? And what do they have to do with education? To answer that, I asked Pierce County Assessor-Treasurer Mike Lonergan. He oversees the whole property tax process. And as it turns out, understanding what's going on behind the number on your tax bill can get really complicated really fast.
Here in Pierce County, there's about 75 different taxing districts that overlap in different ways.
First, let's define some terms. A tax is the money that you pay. A levy is the action of imposing a tax. Here in Washington, we have what are called regular levies, which are raised by local governments, and then we have excess or special levies.
Well, the area where special levies are far from special is the schools.
These levies are the ones you see on your ballot. They need voter approval. Parks, fire districts, and libraries also raise special levies on occasion. But voters around the state see school levies, well, regularly, sometimes as often as every year.
The controversy has become we shouldn't be depending upon voted taxes to provide the basic salaries of teachers and operating costs of heating schools and things like that.
Lonergan is getting at the crux of the debate in Olympia. A lot of it is being addressed in a couple big proposals that will change education funding in general. But lawmakers are also grappling with what's called the levy lid and the levy cliff.
Substitute House Bill 1059 delays the scheduled reduction in the levy lid limit for 1 year.
I'm not going to make you listen to a three-hour Senate committee hearing, but I should explain how we got here. The debate over school funding goes back to the 70s, when the state Supreme Court first ruled that basic education was the state's responsibility. At issue in that case was schools' reliance on local levies. To address the problem, lawmakers back then instituted the levy lid. It's a limit on how much districts can ask for from voters, a lid on the pot, so to speak. The idea was if local taxes were limited, the state would have to make up the rest. The lid is a number based on a percentage of all the money the district gets from the state and from the feds. A few decades ago, it was 10%, and it's progressively climbed to our current 28%. That last number was decided by legislators back in 2010. Lawmakers at the time said the increase would be temporary.
But on a temporary basis.
I know that it's a temporary measure.
This is just one piece, a temporary piece to help.
7 years later, we're still talking about it. And that brings us to the so-called levy cliff. If the lid is a number, the cliff is a date, January 1st, 2018. That's the date the 28% number goes back down to 24%. It means school districts won't be able to levy as much in local taxes. To understand why that's important, let's go back to Frank Hewins at the Franklin Pierce School District.
If you lose capacity from your levy that the voters already passed, it's a big hit. For us in my school district, it's going to be over $5 million.
The levy issue is just one part of the legislature's work in trying to fund education, and it's likely a plan will change the way local taxes factor into everything. But right now, it's a timing issue. Assuming the legislature comes up with a funding plan before the session ends, Hewins and other school administrators may have to make cuts before then.
Until they can figure that out, we need to make sure that they are doing no harm in the meantime.
And even if lawmakers extend the cliff this year, the debate is far from over. What the state Supreme Court found in 1978 were two problems with local levy funding. First, relying on money that could be voted away is risky. Second, it can create inequities among big, small, urban, and rural districts.
I mean, that's where it is now. We have winners and losers.
Franklin Pierce is lucky. They're small, but they manage to pass a basic operations levy every 4 years. The principal at Brookdale, Connie Holman, she says they work hard to make sure students have what they need.
It's challenging.
The face you're making right now, it looks daunting.
It is, and it breaks our heart when we can't. When we walk away feeling that we weren't able to meet the needs of families and of our students.
Students who will be back in these classrooms tomorrow who probably couldn't tell you about levy lids or levy cliffs, but they still need to get on the bus to get to school, and somebody needs to pay for the gas. Simone Alisea, 88.5 News. That story was part of our series, Unpacking Government. If you have a question that you want answered, let us know at knkx.org.
KNKX comes from the Northwest, like this walrus.
Talk. Roar. Growl.
88.5 KNKX on knkx.org and NPR1.